Alleluia. 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 The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. For these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues. And there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance. For I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends. And they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." This is the gospel of the Lord, the good news. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. It is an unenviable task to be a preacher during stewardship season when reading from the Gospel of Luke in November. It's hard to deliver a message encouraging folks to contribute generously to the church when Jesus is staking all he's got on the destruction of the temple. Not a brick will be left on another brick. There's a lot of bricks in here, guys. I don't say that to garner your sympathy, although I won't say no to it. But I say it as a reminder to us all that things are hard. Life is hard. The world can be and often is and even is right now a very scary place for so many of us. Jesus speaking to his disciples seems in our text this morning to be preparing them for such inevitabilities. War, famine, plague, persecution. Jesus speaks of these things to his disciples so that they might know that in the midst of all of this tumult, in the middle of such insanity all around, that God is with them and that they should endure in their faithfulness. Many of you here this Sunday morning are here, maybe even today, but certainly at various points in your life through sheer endurance. I've heard from many of you your own story of what brought you to Christ the King. Maybe it was Milo knocking on doors. Maybe it was school, your friends, kids' friends, their parents inviting you. Maybe, you know, it just was the closest one to your house. There are a lot of reasons that bring us to church, and very often we think of those reasons as being attributable to one pastor or one family or one program or one location. But I tell you today, the reason I am at Christ the King is that you were looking to hire somebody. That helped. I won't lie. But the reason I am at Christ the King Lutheran Church this morning is because God called me to be in this place. But that isn't something that is the sole property of a pastor, this calling, this vocation. I believe everyone in this room is at Christ the King Lutheran Church this morning because God called you to be here today. God calls us to live in this world, to live in complicated times, to face challenges and heartbreaks, joys and celebrations, to be even scared from time to time in this place, so that we may endure in our relationships with one another and in our relationships with God. These texts, yes, they're hard to preach during stewardship season. These texts filled with apocalyptic language, messages of terrifying things. There are those preachers and those traditions who would lean pretty hard on some of those terrifying things, who would point to those great wars and destructions, earthquakes, plagues, and famines, hold up a newspaper and say, "Look, see, here they are, signs that God is coming and the world is coming to an end. So repent. Find Jesus. Accept him into your heart. Or face the consequences." There are those who would stand up high in that pulpit and wield fear and shame as though it were the rod and staff of the Lord. Now I'm feeling self-conscious about standing up here. Maybe I'll move over here. I've got to keep the tech crew on their toes this morning because Dan isn't here to be mad at me in the corner for moving around without telling him I was going to do it. Yes, there are those who would focus on these apocalyptic messages, seeing them as signs of the coming of the Lord. And yet they would forget what is also in our reading from Luke today. Jesus' caution to be wary of those kinds of people. Those who would stand there and say, "I am he, follow me, look at the signs, the end is near." Jesus speaking about that temple, the brick that will no longer be atop the other bricks. Jesus is speaking about those horrifying events that we read in the paper before coming here in the morning. He speaks of these things to let us know that life and the terrifying events in this world, even the monuments we build with great effort and strength, are temporary. Those things, those scary things, or those solid, comforting things will someday go away. It is a reminder to us that amidst all of the temporariness of this life, God is permanent. God is permanent. God's presence in our life, God's love and care for each of us, and God's calling to us to come together in this place, or if it weren't this place, it would be another place. God's calling, God's purpose for us in this life is permanent. And so, when people come to ask of you who you are and what you thought you were doing, there is no need to prepare a defense. For God's presence is there. God's guidance is there. This building, this budget, these things, these realities of life as a congregation are temporary. The wealth in our pockets, the time we have to give, the costs and benefits of life in this world are temporary. But what happens when God is active in our midst? What happens when God draws a community together? Boy, that's the stuff that lasts. As I said, I am here, yes, because you asked me to be here. But I am also here to testify to you that God was at work in your asking. Just as God was at work on Milo's knock at your front door, or that friend who said, come and check out Christ the King, or those in-laws, or those other family members, or shoot, that's a church right there. Maybe we should try that one. That is God at work. People know, in spite of the temporariness of this temple we have built, that God is at work in this place, but not just in this place, in these people in this place. In the 3 years that I have been your pastor, I have encountered many people, members of this congregation and people from out in the community who have felt themselves drawn to this place, knowing that it is somewhere safe to be, knowing it is somewhere where they will be welcomed as they are, knowing that this is a good place. Now, I don't want to say anything negative about this building, about this block, about this little corner of Bloomington, Minnesota, but I have an instinct that tells me it's not about this place. We have built a good building to show people what kind of place we intend for this to be. But people are drawn here on Sundays, on Wednesdays, throughout the week, because the people in this place are a caring people. The people in this place have their eyes on the permanence of God and not the temporariness of situation. I know people who have come here in the midst of a mental health crisis who have no relationship to this church, wandering in off of the street, scared for their lives, and yet somehow they knew these open doors were good doors to walk through at a time like that. I know people in our midst in this room right now who came to this place in the thick of a mental health crisis, fearing for their own safety, security, and sanity, who knew that walking in those doors was a good thing to do, for there was a community here to catch them. I know people who call us during the day, stop by in the morning, who trust the staff at this congregation to be there for them, even just for a mood brightener, a little laugh, a cup of coffee, and to go on their way. Heck, I don't know if you know this, but churches like Christ the King, and I know it to be true of Christ the King, are a wonderful thing for postal workers. Does anybody know why? Because we have a bathroom. Because we have facilities that they know they can use when they are out walking the street all day delivering the mail. It seems a silly reason, but it's a real reason. A reminder that our bodies are temporary, but the loving kindness of God and of God's people is permanent. This season, during stewardship season, we are called to live out our calling as God's beloved children with great generosity. We are called in our text this morning by Jesus to be steadfast and to testify. Now remember this guy over here. This guy over here would tell you, come to the Lord, come and testify, right? And yes, that's an effective way of testifying. But as I ask the Bible studiers this week, I will ask you now, how can you testify? What can you do to testify to the Lord's permanence and goodness in your life? It's not just standing up here and talking. What can you do? Dad, help me out. How can you testify? To love your neighbor. To give with all your heart. Be as generous as God has been generous to you. It pays to have a preacher in the back row, I'm telling you. John, you want to pitch in? Remember the Minneapolis Area Synod, says assistant to the bishop, John Halden, in the back row. Yes. To live our lives with great love, with earnest and active service, and with great generosity of our time and our talents and our treasures. And yes, to tell people the good news of what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do here in this impermanent structure, here in this temporary world, here in our lives and in the lives we meet. God is here. Amen.